going to read some selected verses this morning from God's Word. So we'll begin reading 1 Kings 8:27. So hold your hat as we read a few verses together. 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? We move along to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, commencing at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Verse 57:15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 24. We'll start with verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? We'll end our readings there and trust that the Lord will bless to our hearts the consideration of God's Word. As you know, we've been studying the person and the works and the attributes of God, and especially we've been looking in the first few chapters of the Bible. Well, you remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All the 66 books of the Scripture reveal who God is and what He has done, what He desires in man. And there's no contradiction, but consistency found throughout the Word of God in every subject that it addresses. Theology, anthropology, eschatology, and all kinds of studies that the Lord desires for us to engage in. We've looked at the existence of God, that He is, in the beginning God. We've looked at His power, that He is omnipotent, He is all-powerful. We've looked at His love, that He is a God of immeasurable love, sacrifice, willing to save wretched sinners like you and I. And we've looked at God's wisdom, His omniscience, that He's all-knowing. And we couldn't pass by what I think that you've been able to perceive in the verses that were read earlier about the God of the everywhere, so to speak. He is the everywhere God. He is a God who is not nowhere, if you will. And I want us to look at the impressive omnipresent God today. I want us to ponder that God is everywhere, and therefore man is to repent of sin, to rejoice, and to revive our service for Him anywhere and everywhere we go. What do Eden, Babel, Ararat, Ur of the Chaldees, Philistia, the land of Uz, Egypt, Sinai, Canaan, Nineveh, Jerusalem, Asia Minor, Rome, North America, South America, Asia, Africa, Europe, Australia, and Antarctica, and what's above at the top, what is entailed at the top continent, at the top of the world. What do all these have in common? The planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, in this galaxy, and in the universe, this room, our homes, our workplaces, stores, what do they all have in common? God's presence. Everywhere, at the same time, in all of His being, not diffused, but in all His being, just like I am here in all of my being. I'm not over there. I am here on this, in this space, standing on a particular spot. I am in all my mind, soul, and body and strength right here only. But it's just mind-boggling to think as I am right here in all of my being, God is everywhere in all of His being. How can it be? How can my peon mind even wrap around that one? That God is omnipresent in all of His being. Of course, you know that the pantheists say, well, God is in everything. That's not what omnipresence is. God isn't in everything. It is as if you break a branch and that's God. God is in all of His being, everywhere at the same time. So if I could be on Pluto, there thou art. As the psalmist said, if I flee to the uttermost part of the sea, there you are. Jacob, remember, understood that when he was fleeing from Esau, thinking that perhaps God was left behind. And yet, remember the scene at Peniel and the conclusion, thou art here, I've seen the face of God. The Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Jacob learned something of God's omnipresence that day, didn't he? The Lord is here in all of His being. That's a really staggering thing, that He beholds just a little place like this, a little congregation like this the Lord cares about. I want us to think about the impressive omnipresence of our God. In relation to space, we would call this God's immensity. God is immense. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 23 and 24, am not I a God who fills heaven and earth? He is immense. At one moment, in all of His being, He is in every single place. How big is the universe? Remember, we compared Earth in our just one galaxy, just a little spot in the corner of our galaxy. And if this room is a galaxy and there are millions of galaxies that comprise the universe, and yet God is everywhere in our universe, and yet it cannot contain Him, as Solomon said. He's fully present, not diffused, fully present and fully conscious every place and time. So I don't have to worry about the question that, well, if a tree falls where no one can hear it, does it make a noise? Well, God can hear it. Yes. If a tree is falling in some obscure forest that no one can hear it, God hears it. God is immense. It's as if, you know, when you hear your spouse breathing next to you, or you hear someone who's sitting next to you breathe, and you know they're present right there, right next to you. Wherever we go, we can, as it were, hear the breath of God. Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord coming, walking, moving, getting closer. And yet, God was already there in His omnipresence. The gracious thing of God, wasn't it, to speak to them as He approached them in fellowship, and yet we know that they had fallen into sin. God is immense. And this should put us in awe. There's none like the Lord in all the earth and in all heaven. You know, we should be impressed with God's immensity. We should be comforted by it, that there isn't anywhere that we can go where God's presence is absent. He is present everywhere. He is immense in relation to space. And yet our God doesn't get old. He doesn't die. He doesn't leave us. He is eternal, and we think that that also relates to His omnipresence. His eternality is relation to time. But it's interesting, in Isaiah 57, it says He inhabiteth eternity. And so He's really speaking of His presence, that He's everywhere at the same time, at every moment. Every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every year, every decade, every century, every millennium. In the beginning, God. In the year 1000, right? When Noah was around, God was there. God was at Ararat. God was in Eden. In 2000, God was in Ur of the Chaldees. God was in the land of Uz. Job and Abraham knew the presence of God far away from other places. David knew the presence of God in Jerusalem. Paul, 1,000 years later, knew the presence of God as he traveled through Asia Minor into Europe. John Huss and all the reformers knew the presence of God in the year 1000 or 1300 or 1500. And here we are in 2000 A.D. You and I sense the presence of God in Boston, New York today. God is eternal. He will never age. He's the Ancient of Days. His omnipresence will never time out. He is eternal as well as He is immense. He's incomparable, incomparable. Psalm 92 says, "But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore." And no wonder why He goes on to say, "For Thine enemies shall perish. But Thou art forevermore." He inhabiteth eternity. What an expression. What an awesome thing. What a comfort to us as we age, And as we begin to get sick and as operations come our way, as we've known recently, that God is there. You know, God is there in North Buffalo in all of His being, in all of His consciousness. God is there with our brother as he feels every pain, every little thing that falls on top of him and injures him. Poor Debbie yesterday took the little thing that you pressed for more medicine, and he asked her to press it a couple times, and as she pressed it, she dropped it on poor Craig's stomach, and just something little like that, just a little tiny thing, just caused tremendous pain. God is eternal. He is with us at all times. Thirdly, He is exalted. He's transcendent. He's far above all. Let's remember that. In relation to space, He's immense. In relation to time, He's eternal. In relation to creation, He's transcendent. He's exalted above all. His omnipresence doesn't make Him cheap. That exalts Him. The Bible says He's the high and the lofty one. He dwells in the high and the holy place. Let us remember, He's the God of heaven before He's the God of earth. He's a God exalted far above all, far above all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit made us that we might worship Him, not that we might become Him, not that we might become equal to Him, not that we might become gods and have our own worlds. As a notorious cult from New York, that had its origins in New York, teaches its followers. Angels are beneath Him. Angels are within time and space and matter. I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Though they're unlimited by gravity, seemingly, they're limited in power and wisdom and space. They can only be in one place at one time, though they can be in many places in a matter of an hour. They can only be in one place at one time. So the devil is only in one place right now, at this moment. He may be moving from there to another place, but he's only in one place. So he can't be here, and he can't be in Springville at the same time. He can't be here in this church and at the Hamburg Baptist Church right now. Now, he can be here in this church and a demon be over there. And I'm not sure whether there are enough demons to cover every godly church in the world today. And if there aren't, if there isn't a demon in every godly church, yet the Bible says that the devil will place people there who seek to destroy and dilute. He has ministers of righteousness. So if he doesn't have a demon somewhere, he may have a man that's a demon in disguise, as it were. But never fear. God is everywhere that a demon or a devil can be. And the Lord says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, because God is there, and God can drive out the devil and his demons, because he's exalted above them. He's transcendent. And yet, remember, brother and sister, he's exalted above us. He is our God. He made us, and not we ourselves. Let's remember that we're here to worship him today. He is exalted above us. He's transcendent. He's the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Remember, we read together in Psalm 113. Isn't that a wonderful expression? Psalm 113. Awesome expression of God. Psalm 113 and verse 6. Notice this. He humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven. He humbleth himself behold the things that are in heaven. We can understand that next verse, and in the earth. It seems as if, well, of course, earth is his footstool, and so he humbles himself to behold, we stoop down to what's at our feet. And Isaiah says heaven is his throne, and yet God is above heaven. God is beyond heaven. He's not limited by space and time. And so he humbles himself to behold the things in heaven. He has to stoop, as it were, into heaven. He made heaven. Heaven is his throne because he chose to rule among the saints. He chose that to be the place where angels would have their home and where saints would have their home when they die. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God prepares heaven for us? He made heaven not for himself. He made heaven for the angels, and he made heaven for you and me. I go to prepare a place for you. He's exalted above heaven. He's exalted above the earth. He's exalted above the universe. He's exalted above every creature. He's transcendent. I wonder if we really take that in our meditation, in our daily lives. How often we treat sin so lightly, as if God doesn't see me. We need to factor God into our thinking, don't we? We need to sense his presence. He's here. He's exalted. He's offended when you and I sin against him. He's grieved when we choose to disobey. He's worthy. He's worthy. Isn't he more worthy than what we give him? Shouldn't we give him more of our hearts? Shouldn't we give him more consistent obedience? More genuine worship? He's exalted above all. And yet we find that this God who is transcendent, he's immense in relation to space, he's eternal in relation to time, he's transcendent in relation to creation, he's exalted. Yet we find in conclusion he's condescending, he's near in relation to sinful man. He's far and yet he's near. The Bible teaches that this omnipresent, this immense, eternal, exalted God is condescending. We read in Genesis, and God said unto the man. There's condescension. God could have just wiped us off the face of the earth after we committed a crime against him. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. Notice in Isaiah 57:15, we need to pause when we read that the Lord thus saith, the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place. That's worthy of pausing, isn't it? And it's meant for us to pause before we go on. I wish we could just pause there for days, dwell upon it, chew upon that. But as we pause upon his transcendency, notice what it goes on to say. He says, I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell in the high and the holy place, but I dwell. I draw near to lowly man on the earth, to those who desire to know me, to those who submit to my recovery plan for them, for those who admit they're sinners and confess their need of a Savior that I've provided. To them I will dwell and revive I don't just come and dwell and whisper in their ear that they're lost and depraved. I revive them. Oh, they are admitting when they're contrite and humble that they're lost and depraved and worthy of my wrath. But I have come near to revive. It's the untouchable touching a slave. You know, you find that 99% of the untouchables in this world won't dare to stoop to touch you and me. The high and the lofty of this world dwell among the high and the lofty. They don't dwell among, they want to be worshipped by you and me. The Lord of glory saves wretched sinners. He touches us, the untouchable. The Lord Jesus came into the world to say, isn't it wonderful to read of the Lord Jesus that he didn't just dwell among the rich and the famous? Oh, he reached the rich and the famous, but he told them they needed to repent, and he told them they needed to humble themselves, but he touched the leper. He touched the blind man. He touched the poor and the needy, the wretched. He touches you and me. The high and the lofty one condescends to us. Draw near to God. It seems like an impossible task. Draw near to the immense, eternal, transcendent God. But because He's also near, it says, draw near to God because He's there to hear. He's here to hear. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This I'm thy present God. The untouchable touches a sinner like I. God's omnipresence should impress us. It's written to impress us. God's omnipresence should scare us if we're lost. If we make our bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And that speaks of the grave in Psalm 139. But we can certainly say we make our bed in Hades, He's there. You make your bed in the lake of fire, He's there. It's just His presence is one of wrath. The presence of a wrathful God. A just without any mercy mingled God. Omnipresence is to scare lost people. You can't escape from God. You can't run from Him. You're running to Him everywhere you go. It should scare me as a Christian if I sin and think that I'm hiding from God. When I close the door, or when no one's around and I'm on the computer, thou God seest me. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. So I turn a television on with no one around, God sees me. I go to a theater and I make my choices in there. God sees the choice. What we see, what we hear, what we turn on in our cars when we travel. Thou God seest me. Remember, He's omnipresent. He's immense. He's eternal. He's transcendent. But He's condescending. He sees it all. He's not so high that He can't see everything. He's everywhere at the same time. It should scare the lost soul. Get to Christ. God is where you are right now, friend. And He provides a Savior. You can call upon Him right now because He is wherever you are. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The untouchable touches the sinner. But this truth not only should impress and scare, but it blesses us. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows what we're experiencing. He knows our afflictions and our trials and burdens. He knows how to handle them. He's not only a God who's omnipresent. Remember, He's a God who knows all, too. He's all wise. And He's all powerful. He can help us. You know, there are people that are sometimes present with us and they can't help. Either we don't have the wisdom to help someone. We don't have the power. We can visit Craig today. I have no power to heal him. I have no power to help his physical pain. Perhaps we can be some help with the scriptures and with knowledge and by being there. But God is there everywhere. He is a God of wisdom and a God of power. In every way He can help us. There's none like Him. He's the one that knows when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. It's because, and it's that He is wherever we are, the omnipresent God. May this thought today bless our souls throughout the day. May it be our food to chew upon, to meditate today. May the Lord cause it to digest in our souls and minds. And that we can, as Isaiah, or as the Lord commanded Joshua, let this book of the law not depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it. And this particular thought from the book of the law, meditate on it today and tomorrow and the next day. It'll do us good. What does the Lord say? Meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. What's the application here? What do we observe about this? That God is worthy of worship. He's worthy of obedience. He's worthy to proclaim to others. This is the person that people need to know. This is the person that people need to be aware of. What will be the subject of our conversation throughout this week? Some movie star, some sports star, some temporal thing? Shouldn't the dominant theme of our life, of our conversation, be the God of glory, the omnipresent God of heaven and earth and beyond? And as Joshua 1:8 continues, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God was in Eden, in Babel, in Sinai, but God is here in New York with us. He's the eternal, the immense, the transcendent, and thank God, the condescending God of heaven. We worship and praise Him. Trust that He will be honored. Let's pray. Lord, truly there is none like unto Thee in all the earth and in all the heavens. The heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain You. Lord, we bow to this staggering truth. And we are ashamed, I'm ashamed, to sin against the God of the everywhere, the God who sees me, for the times that I have acted as if I could close a door and shut the Lord out. Lord, I thank You for revealing to us who You are, what You are. Over and over again, the Scripture attests that You are the everywhere God. We bless You, Lord, that You are God. And we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is God. That He could speak of Nathanael being far distant from Him because there He was as the Son of God. That He could heal from a distance because He was the omnipresent God. Lord, we believe You are the Son of God. And we trust You as our mediator. We thank You for the Spirit who we believe is omnipresent God. We thank You that the Spirit is here to bless, and He's in every local congregation that serves You. He's with Your servants in the hospitals and the battlefields. We bless You, Lord, that there's nowhere that we can go and say that the Lord is absent. Truly, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is everywhere we go. May we be able to say that we know it. We trust in Thee. Lord, bless us with these thoughts today. We pray that we would chew the cud of the Word of God. Help us to comfort others with this truth and to make others aware of it, that they might come to know You, that they might fear You and seek You. We ask these things in the name of your precious Son. Amen.